Miss Tam, how are you this morning? Tell me something. Is your God great? Come on now. I said, is your God a great God? All right, if our God is a great God, then I gotta believe he's worthy of some serious praise this morning. Amen? I said, if our God is a great God, he is worthy of some serious praise and worship this morning. Amen? We got to come in expecting. I can't come in here and charge you up and get you built up. You have to come in going, my God is great, and he's greatly to be praised. Amen? Father, we come into your house this morning to bless you, to honor you. God, we pray that you would have your way, that your Holy Spirit would come and rule and reign in this service. Father, that hearts would be open to receive from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Christ was on the wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, just being a man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privy. But while he thought these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for which is conceived in her of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save their people of their sin. Amen.
Wonderful Counselor.
Wonderful Counselor.
Lord of Life.
Lord of Life. Lord of All.
He's the Prince of Peace.
He is the Prince of Peace. Mighty God. Holy One.
Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bid him, and he took unto him his wife, And they knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and they called his name Jesus.
His name is what? Wonderful,
wonderful Counselor.
Yeah.
Lord of Light.
Lord of Light. Lord of Light.
He's the Prince of Peace.
He is the Prince of Peace. Mighty God.
Worthy of all our praise. He's worthy of glory and honor. He is with us always. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
There is a river where goodness flows. There is a fountain that drowns sorrow. There is an ocean deeper than fear. The tide is rising, rising. There's a current stirring deep inside. It's overflowing from the heart of God. The blood of heaven crashing over us. The tide is rising, rising. Bursting, bursting. It's overflowing from the heart of God. The flood of heaven crashing over us. The tide is rising, rising. Bursting, bursting up from the ground. We feel it now. Bursting, bursting up from the ground. Doors, set all the captives free. Spring up a well, spring up a well, spring up a well in me. Come on, sing it with me. Break open prison doors, set all the captives free. Spring up a well, spring up a well, spring up a well.
Oh, we gotta sing it again. Break open.
Break open prison doors. Set all the captives free. Bring up a well. Spring up a well. Spring up a well in me.
Nothing can stop.
Nothing can stop this joy. We're dancing in the street. Spring up a well. Spring up a well. Spring up a well in me. nothing can stop this joy.
Come on, yeah.
We're dancing in the street. String up a well. String up a well. String up a well in me.
One more time, nothing.
Nothing can stop this joy.
Yeah.
We're dancing in the street. String up a well. String up a well. String up a well.
Hallelujah! Yes! Amen! Come on, give God some praise this morning! He is worthy! You're worthy of praise, Father! Spring up a well within us this morning! Here we go!
Spring up a well! Spring up a well! Spring up a well! Spring up a well! Spring up a well in me.
Sing it again.
Spring up a well. Spring up a well. Spring up a well. Spring up a well. Spring up a well in me.
We come alive.
We come alive in the river. We come alive in the river. We come alive.
Jesus, you alone are worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that we can come alive in you. When everything around us seems dead, God, you are still alive. You still rule. You breathe life into us, God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, yeah. Yes, 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 I said great.
So we pour out our praise, we pour out
pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise.
One more time.
Pour out I said it's your praise. Breath. It's your breath.
Yes, amen.
In our lungs.
So I pour out my praise.
So we pour out our praise.
I pour out my praise to you, Father.
Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs.
Amen.
So we pour out our praise to you only.
Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just keep feeling in my spirit that God wants somebody to know this morning that your God reigns. You know what? This time of year gets busy for everybody, and you know what? It does not change. Every year I think it gets worse. I think that we become a society that is more commercialized. We forget about the Savior that was born. We think about the things that we got to do, the places we got to be, the things we got to buy. And this year we're thinking about a new president. We're thinking about this and that. But you know what is constant? You know what has been constant from the beginning of time till this day, till this very minute that we stand here, is that my God is the God who rules and reigns. You know what? Kingdoms can set up, they can tear down people, they can make rulers, they can make this and that, but when it is all said and done, I believe that I'm going to stand before my Maker, and I'm going to look at Him, and I'm going to say, you reign, you rule, and you know what? Today is a good day to start telling Him how much He rules and He reigns, and if you got issues in your life this morning, you look at the devil square in the eye, and you tell him that your God reigns, that your God rules, that your God is a God of victory. Amen.
Forever, your kingdom reigns.
church, let me hear you sing it this morning.
Oh, our God reigns.
Come on, church.
Oh, our God.
You're not just singing a song this morning. You're proclaiming that your God rules and reigns.
Your kingdom reigns.
Sing it again.
Oh, our God reigns.
Yeah. Come on. Come on.
Oh, our God reigns forever. Your kingdom reigns.
Sing it again.
Oh, our God reigns. Oh, our God reigns forever. Your kingdom reigns.
One more time. We're going to sing it one more time.
Ooh, our God reigns. Ooh, our God reigns. Forever your king.
Here we go. Come on.
I worship you, Jesus.
Come on, sing it again.
Our God reigns.
Our God.
Come on, abandon yourself. This is your moment. Abandon yourself. Lift your hands and worship the King this morning.
Our God reigns forever. Your kingdom reigns.
Your kingdom reigns.
to shout this morning. You reign. You reign. You reign. You reign.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on.
Jesus.
You reign.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What a relief. What a relief to know that your God reigns. Everything can be falling around you, but you can stand tall with your shoulders back and your head high because you know your God cannot and will not forsake you. No matter what trial or tribulation, you know that you're always going to come through it because you've been made more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord. Today, so many Christians walk around with their chins dragging and their heads all scarred up. But today you and I stand here because we are the children of the Most High King. And our God reigns. Not the governments of this world, not the situations in your life. Our God reigns. And His word is yea and amen. Amen? I said amen. I said amen. On your way back to your chair, make sure you encourage five or six folks that you don't know and say, my God reigns. Look them right in the eye and say, my God reigns. Let's have a testimony this morning. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? How many of you are glad to be in the house of the Lord? There's one thing that I love is I love being in the house of God. I love being in His presence. I know that life gets busy and everybody's got something to do. But there's one thing I learned a long time ago. If He's really your king, an hour and a half a week is not a long time. Amen. Boy, that got real quiet. I said amen. Giving our God, as He's opened the table up, giving our God an hour and a half a week is so menial. And He's called us to praise and worship in public. Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself as the manner of some is, especially in the last days. Jesus is coming. You know, it can come any day. Christ can come any day. There's not one prophecy of His coming to be fulfilled, left to be fulfilled. So we know that He could come today. What would happen if the trumpet of God was sound before the finality of this service? You know what's interesting is, if the trumpet of God sounded and you're not right with God, then you're sitting in your seat still. We're all gone. You can preach this morning if that's you. Just come on up and preach something. Fact is that Christ can return today. We want to remind you that to give Him glory is what we've been called to do. To live for Him is what we've been called to do. Do not be distracted in life. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. We want to welcome our guest this morning. Thank you so much for being here. We want to welcome it. How many first-time guests? We're not going to embarrass you or make you stand do weird things. But we have a gift for you. If you're a first-time guest this morning, we'd like you to raise your hand up. Hi, Tyree. Yes, you're not the first time. Hallelujah. Anybody here, very first-time guest at His Tabernacle? Oh, very good. Right over here. Right behind you. We got a gift for you, man of God. Thank you so much for being here. Anyone else this morning, first time guest at his tabernacle? Oh, right in the front row. Very good, front row. He's in spit zone now. That's faith. Glory to God. Glory to God. Right in the front row there. You. Anybody else, first time guest? Where? Oh, right over here, young lady. Very good. Very good. Thank you so much. Can we give all of our guests a hand clap this morning and say thank you so much for being with us? Amen. We also want to welcome all of our live streamers. We know there are at least 100 computers a week. Now, that means there could be anywhere between 100 and 150, 200 people watching every single week from all over the world. And we want to welcome our online campus. Can you give them a hand clap this morning? Say thank you for being part of us right here in Horseheads, New York. Praise the Lord. We're excited. Hi, honey. You should turn that on.
Hello. We have a lot of events going on. Make sure you read your bulletin. Next week, next Sunday, is water baptism. If you have not yet been water baptized, you want to make sure you sign up and be water baptized. Have that transformation, supernatural, happen in your life. And this year, Christmas falls on Sunday morning. And it is going to be such an awesome time to honor our King. That's what the season is all about. And it's such a privilege to be able to even teach our children that that's what this season is about, is honoring our King. So make sure, we are only having one service on Sunday. It's at, let me get the time correct, 10 a.m. And then Christmas Eve, our candlelight service, will be at 7 p.m. So those two services coming out and honoring our King. He is awesome, and he is so worthy of all of our praise. So this morning, when we do tithes and offerings, do we have our special envelopes? We have special envelopes that the ushers will be holding up here. Can I have one of those real quick? Do we have the Christmas envelopes? All right, we need the Christmas envelopes. Carla, do we know where those are? Okay, Pastor Dan. All right, so we have Christmas envelopes so that you can take them with you today. We will have ushers up here to hand them out to you as you bring your tithes and offerings this morning. These envelopes are for you to take and prepare your gift for Christmas Sunday morning. We already have a nice bow printed on it for you, so it's wrapped nicely, and you'll be able to bring your gift on Christmas Sunday morning to honor the King with. So today, I'd like to read a scripture passage to you regarding tithes and offerings, actually a couple of them. And the first one is Proverbs 3, 9 through 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting. That's what the Word of God says. When we honor God with our wealth, our barns will overflow and they will be bursting. Proverbs 11:24 says, one who gives freely yet grows all the richer, but there's another that withholds what he should give and he only suffers want. And then in Luke 6:38 it says, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So when we honor God with our wealth, our barns are bursting, our vats overflow, and we do not grow in want. We actually increase. So this is the Word of God. This is His truth for us. And when we participate in kingdom finances, those are our promises. Everyone, yes and amen. Stand to your feet. Let's make our supernatural declaration as we give to the Lord this morning. And we have communion. So Pastor and I will be holding communion cups. And don't forget, your Christmas envelopes will be up here that you can grab so that you can come prepared on Christmas morning with your gift to honor the King. Deuteronomy 28 says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord and come and get your communion and your Christmas gift.
Then drown sorrow, there is an ocean. People in fear, the tide is rising, rising. There is a current stirring deep inside. It's overflowing from the heart of God. The flood of heaven passing over us. The tide is rising, rising.
Thanks for our Bible school here at His Tabernacle Family Church, Region Bible Institute. We have a bunch of students. They're all getting ready for finals this week. Woo, glory. How many of you remember finals? Oy vey, I remember finals. Coffee never did anything for me, so what I did in finals is I used to eat hot peppers. Oof. When I would get tired, I'd start eating hot peppers. Ooh, my. I did all right. I passed. Glory to God. Today, we're taking communion. I love communion. How many of you love receiving communion? Turn to someone and say, I'm a covenant child. So many people make this so religious, and really what it is a celebration. We get to celebrate what Jesus has done for us. You see, we are covenant children of God. This is not about a religious little thing that we do, and we drink some really gross grape juice and eat paper-like things that we're not even sure what it is. I mean, honest, let's be honest. How many of you really know what that wafer is? You walk by faith more than you know. But communion's to remember that you are a covenant child. Remember, seek ye first the kingdom, which means God's kingdom does not run by man's law. It's not a democracy. It is a kingdom. So in kingdom, there are kingdom laws and principles, and there's agreements. And the agreement we have is with our Father. And our Father has cut a covenant with us. That is that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, the sacrifice for all of our sins. How many of you are glad Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Amen. So you have the blood, which represents forgiveness, and the body, which represents healing. See, if you believe in salvation, you've got to believe in healing. Wow, that was really exciting. If you believe in salvation, you got to believe in healing. You can't separate it. It's impossible biblically to separate those two principles. Now, if you believe it's always God's will to save, how many believe it's always God's will to save somebody? Amen. Then you got to believe also it's always God's will to heal. It's the principle. And today we're celebrating because many people in the body of Christ are ill. Now, we know that sickness comes and tries to attack our bodies, but we have a covenant that the world doesn't have. The Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. But the difference between us and them is we have a covenant with a living God. We have a covenant with a living God. Not with a religion. Not with a church. You have no covenant with your preacher. You have a covenant with a living God. And if you have a covenant with a living God, and I just got news for you, God can't lie. Because if he can, then he can't be God. Because our God is holy. So today as we celebrate, Jesus instituted this in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. You hear many people say, Pastor, I have this sickness. I have that sickness. I have diabetes. I have ear problems. I have nose problems. I have toe problems. Pastor, I have this internal thing going on. Listen, it's not that sickness isn't going to try to come on you, just like sin will try to come on you. But it's what you do with it. We've got to take an aggressive posture against sickness. Now, as you get older, how many of you have gotten older? Everybody else just lied. You're all going to hell. Glory. Y'all need communion, you know. As you've gotten older, you realize that you don't have the same stamina that you might have had when you were younger. We've been working on my man cave, and I want to give Minister Redner honor. Glory to God. He nailed a bunch of things yesterday, and I actually felt bad for him because he's over his head. Toosh, toosh, toosh. And my brother-in-law, Chad, back there, he's working awful hard, you know. And I'm sitting back, and I'm going, wow, they're working harder than I am, but I know they're going to be more pain than me. Because our bodies want to break down. But you've got to know that sickness and disease have no right in your body. Amen? Just like sin has no right in your body. Turn to somebody and say, I refuse to allow sin to control my life. Turn to somebody else and say, I refuse to allow sickness to control my life. Jesus paid for both of them. And I refuse to allow it to control. Do you believe that? That's the word of God. That's what the Bible says. That's why he took the bread and broke it. Then after that, he picked up a cup. He said, this cup is the New Testament of a new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance. Do this as you often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You see, today we are not some little church group that kind of is in survival mode, hoping that when we die that the Lord will help us. We're not some religious group that is sitting back and saying, well, you know, this world is just so hard. No, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. And if God is for us, then who can be against us? And with the covenant of heaven standing with us, then there's not one sin, there's not one sickness, there's no poverty that is more powerful than our God. Can I hear an amen in the church? And you see, that's why we celebrate communion, because it's easy to forget. It's easy to forget. So, Father, this morning, we thank you for your son, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you that you took that bread and you broke it. And you say, do this in remembrance of me. Lord, we know why you did it. You taught it from all the way back in Exodus chapter 12. You made the declaration in Exodus chapter 15. I am the God that healeth thee. We release healing right now in Jesus' name. We declare our atmosphere of miracles right now in the name of Jesus. We declare that sickness has no right on our body. And God, today, if we've said it is ours, we release it right now in the name of Jesus. We claim nothing on ourselves, just like we claim no sin. We declare that he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So, Lord, we speak to sickness. We speak to disease. We speak to pains. We speak, oh God, even to those that have been maimed. And we declare that even as you did, Lord, while you walked on this earth, you showed the will of God. You healed all that came to you. So, Jesus, we are coming to you today, celebrating what you accomplished. You sealed and set and finished. It is finished. And we celebrate our healing in the name of Jesus. Let's partake of the cracker together. He then picked up the cup. He said, this is my blood of the new covenant. How many of you have ever sinned before? Anybody who didn't raise their hand? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's good news for you. We all need a Savior. You know, sometimes we perch things in our own minds and say that I've gone too far, that I've sinned too much. I want you to know there's no sin that's too great for Jesus to wash away. Amen. Man might hold it against you. You might have trouble forgetting it and forgiving yourself. But through the blood of Jesus, he throws your sin as far as the east or the west and remembers it not even one more time. I don't know. That's a good God. Amen. Father, today we thank you that you absorb our sin through the blood. We thank you that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you, Jesus, that when we stand before the Father, we stand in your righteousness, not our own. Thank you for the blood. So, Lord, today, if there's any sin in our life that seems more powerful than it should be, we break right now. We release the power of deliverance in the room. We declare that no sin has a right to control our lives. We break the power of the back of the devil as you did on Calvary's tree. We declare you made an open show of him. We will not be controlled by sin in Jesus' name. We pray for those carnal Christians in the house this morning, that great conviction will come upon them in the name of Christ. That, Father, they will see and feel and understand that they must hate sin as much as they hate the devil. So, God, today we thank you for the blood of Jesus that makes us new and perfect for the glory of God. Let's partake together. Now, let's thank the Lord for being set free in the covenant we have with him. Amen. Come on, thank him for the covenant that you have with him. Nick, come help me. And let's pray for the company that makes these things. They are nasty, aren't they? They're nasty. It really is gross. I always try to have a good attitude about that. This morning, we want to bless somebody. Dr. Schemmerhorn, Dan Schemmerhorn, wrote a book, Building Godly Men. You can eliminate worldly problems. You can eliminate all your worldly problems now. And he'd like to bless somebody with that. Would anybody like this book? It has to be a man. You need to come get it. I'm not going to run after. There you go. You can push the usher over. I don't mind. Too late. That was a good run, kid. Jay, you didn't send him early enough. Ma, happy birthday. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about today. This is a message that's been on my heart now for a few months, and I just haven't had the freedom and the liberty to give it to you yet. But today is the day, amen? Isn't it crazy? It is December of 2016. It is December of 2016. I remember the days when we were wondering if 2000 was going to be finished out. I remember in high school when they used to tell us that in the year 2000, there'll be not one tree left on the planet. I remember that one. I graduated in 1984. Was anybody not born in 1984? Okay, I hate all of you children. Glory to God. It is amazing to recognize that they've been declaring doom and gloom over our planet for so long, but God is the owner of all things. Amen? The Lord, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And today, you and I don't stand here as the little Christianettes hoping to survive. We are sons and daughters of the King. Today, I want to talk to you about wanting Jesus. This is a message that's really been burning in my spirit. And I've been concerned for people in the body of Christ at large, not just in our church, but I want to remind you there's 4,000 to 5,000 people that watch this telecast. We have people online right now that are watching, but this is going to be broadcasted on ABC and CBS in our local area. And this is a message I want to make sure that everybody hears and hears clearly. Because there's a necessity to recognize that not everybody is going to heaven. I do funerals, and one thing that you find is that everybody believes everybody's going to heaven. And it's not true. Not everybody's going to heaven. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to heaven. Now, Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. I thought I was in church. I said, Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. You cannot be a nice person and get to heaven. You cannot be sincere and get to heaven. You cannot just say a prayer and get to heaven. A lot of folks have said a prayer when they were 5 or 6 years old, and they think that's their ticket, and therefore they're set. Well, I'm once saved, always saved. I want you to know that this is not about a little prayer. This is about a relationship with a living God. And in that, it's not just how you start, it's how you finish. And this message that's been on my spirit, I've actually been grieved, and I've walked it's been days and days and days where I've been walking with a heaviness on my heart, a sadness on my heart, a real sadness on my heart. And if you know me, I'm just not a sad person. But there's been just a heaviness and a sadness on my heart, knowing and God preparing for this message. You see, the passion of Jesus today for many needs to be stirred back up. You once loved God in a manner. You were born again. You were saved. You know that your life was lost, but then you gave your heart to Jesus, and you were truly, genuinely born again. I'm talking there's a change in your heart. You cannot have anybody talk you out of it because you know the reality of the Jesus that changed your life. But over time and life, people stop recognizing, therefore they stop pursuing, and their passion wanes. And God wants to resurrect. God wants to stir again our passion for him, because in and when everything is said and done, the only thing that is going to matter is your relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything you have today, probably if you're alive 30 years from now, will be gone. You're going to save a few trinkets here or there. Prayerfully, you keep your spouse. Is needed to say that. But overall, you're going to find that what we have is temporary. And so many of us seek so much after the temporary that we forget and we become blinded simply with sight. Many of us are blinded, yet we can physically see. We have lost a sense of focus in our reality of who we are and why we are. Therefore, we become more religious than we do relationship. And it's easy to slide into this zone. And I believe in my spirit that today you're in the shot of my voice, so that the Holy Ghost, you may hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. In these last days, in the days that are ahead, God will not spend time, will not even have patience as he has in the past with people that refuse to get in alignment with a relationship with God. He is going to pass people by, and he is going to go after those that have never been saved before because the religious refuse to be moved. They have a hard heart that God needs to shake. Can I hear an amen? The verse that I want to share with you is found in Luke chapter 7, 36 through 39, and it says this. Then one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. Now that shows us that Jesus will go and hang out with anybody. Can I hear an amen? You know, one thing I love about Jesus is that Jesus very rarely talks sternly to sinners, but he's talked very sternly to religious. But I love Jesus because he loves everybody. And here's a religious man. He is a man of the Pharisees, which was a religious group. They dressed all in big robes, and they were very proud of their religious teaching. And in fact, the Bible says that Saul was a Pharisee. You see, Saul was so passionate in his relationship with his religion that he actually came after those of the way, the ones that were born again, washed by the blood of Christ. We know it was not until Acts chapter 9 that he actually met Christ on the road to Damascus, and he went from religious and he went to relationship. You see, this man asked Jesus Christ, he asked the Son of God, "Will you come eat at my house?" And Jesus said, "Absolutely." Behold, there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. Now, you see, what's interesting is this woman was never named. Some say she might have been Mary, but really nobody's sure who she is. But what she is known for in the entire city is that she's a sinner. How many of you know somebody that's a really good sinner? How many of you were that person, that really good sinner? Yes. I mean, people knew when they saw you went, "Yep, that's a bad one. Oh, yeah, that's a wild one. Whoa, did you see them at the party the last 26 years? What's amazing to me is there's still 40-year-olds smoking weed. I don't get that. I mean, someday you got to grow up, you know what I mean? But it amazes me, this woman was simply known as the sinner. Her life had to be so nasty. Her life had to be so bad. Her sins had to be so great that the way she was known in the city was that she was a sinner. But something that she did here should change us. Behold, there was a woman who was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at the table of the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with her hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed him with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he spoke to him and he said, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner this woman is who's touching him, for she is a sinner." Oh, I love this next portion. Then Jesus turned to the woman and said to Simon, so watch now. Here's the woman who just got done weeping over him, who just got done washing his feet with her hair, who just got done taking money and pouring it on his feet. Now here is the man who is a religious guy, who was invited to her. Jesus was invited to his house. He actually spent money on the meal. And now this woman came and interrupted their time. And this is what Jesus had to say. He looked at the woman, and he looked at Simon, and this is what he said. Then he turned his head and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet. But she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman anointed my feet with fragrant oil." The heart that loses focus in plain sight. Here is a man that should have understood. I should have understood. Here is a man that should have conceived and perceived. You thought he had some level of conception, some level of perception, because he at least invited Jesus to eat at his house. But there was a revelation that was not in his heart. There was an understanding that was not in his heart that this woman had, that he should have had. There are many people in the body of Christ, when they got saved, they had the revelation of the Messiah. They had the revelation of a relationship. They had the revelation of knowing him and walking with him and talking with him, being faithful to him and staying out of sin. Can I hear an amen of staying out of sin? All two of you, amen. I said, staying out of sin is a good thing. It pleases God. But sometimes we are in a position where our lives are so busy that we become blinded. We're blinded by the life that we live, our busyness of life. We're blinded by hurts and reasons and money problems, and we lose sight of our life's purpose and destiny. Our life, many times as believers, gets caught in the cog of the wheel that's turning, but yet we never get to get unblinded, even though we're in the light. This man who was a Pharisee should have known the light. He knew the Torah. He understood who Jesus was. He understood, or he would have never invited him to his house. But one thing that we found was that Jesus had no problem dealing with the issues that were at hand. He looked at this man and he said, "You honored me to a certain level, but you did not honor me like this sinner." I have found over the years as I pastored that there are many in the church world who will not bring water to Jesus' feet to wash them, who will not kiss the Lord and honor him even in his presence. They will not anoint his head. They saw Jesus and even hosted him, but did not recognize him and did not honor him. And in these last days, God is putting and raising up a group of sons and daughters who are going to honor him for who he is, not just what he does or what he did. But where we are going is going to demand that there's a recognition and a revelation of the relationship that we have with God. So many believers are blinded, even though they can see physically. We see the same thing in the book of Luke chapter 10, starting with verse 38. Now it happened as they went and they entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary, and they also sat at Jesus, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached Jesus and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, and I will not take it away." We no longer read the Bible. We no longer pray except for over our meals. When it comes time to come to the house of God, it takes a crowbar, and as long as nothing else gets in the way that the world has to offer, then we might make time for God. "Well, I love him. Pastor, don't you understand? He washed my sins away. I know I'm saved." But yet we make choices that are so visibly clear through the busyness of life and our worries and our concerns that we do not spend time with him. We will not have a relationship with him. We will have a level of religion with him, but we will not have relationship with him. And God is calling his body back. You see, we've been praying for revival. What is revival? Revival is reviving something that was once alive that is now dead. Revival is not for the world, for they do not know God. Revival is for the church to again get so passionate over our Christ, to be like this woman. You see, she recognized him. She understood who he was. And I don't know how, but one thing I know, it took a level of boldness and passion to say, I don't care if I'm going to the Pharisee's house. I know they're going to mock me. I know they know me. I know they're going to talk about me. But one thing I know for sure, that I've got to get near this one called Jesus. I've heard that he washes people's sins away. I heard that he gives us new purpose and destiny. I know that I've got to know him. I've got to be near him. And she stood by him. And when she stood by him, there was conviction that came on her heart. She immediately started to weep. You see, when you get near Jesus, you pull an Isaiah. What is Isaiah? When he was in the presence of the Lord, he fell on his face as dead. Woe unto me! You see, when we sit in the presence of the Lord, then we cannot allow sin to be resident without making choices. Here is this Pharisee, and his greatest sin wasn't that he ran around and was cheating on his wife. We don't see anything about that. But what we found was this, is that he is a man that was religious. Let me tell you something. God made it said, he said it clear in Isaiah chapter 1. I hate religion. I hate your new moon feast. I hate all these traditions that you do. Even though I instituted them so that you would do them out of the heart that you have for me. But because no longer is your heart in these things, they are nothing more than rituals. God is not looking for a people of rituals. God is not looking for a people of religion. God is looking for a people that are passionate, that are just like this woman, because she stood behind him. She recognized who he was. She recognized who she was. And tears started coming down her eyes. She got on her knees and she allowed the tears to wash his feet. And then she took her hair. Now, let me tell you something. That was one of the lowest things that you could do. Women, it was against the law to let your hair down. She let her hair down. She started wiping his feet with her hair. And she started kissing his feet. Why? Because she recognized that he was the one. He was the only one. He was the only thing that was available that was going to take care of what she had called sin, and without Christ, she was lost. Brother Tiff preached it a few weeks ago. Until you confess that you're a sinner, you cannot have a Savior. Until we get to this place where, again, we're so passionate for God. And you know something? I've had a good life, and God has blessed me. We are living in a thriving church, and God has blessed this church with souls being saved and miracles and signs and wonders. It is not abnormal that people get healed on a Sunday morning. It's not abnormal that people are getting saved. In fact, it's more abnormal when someone doesn't get saved. This last week, 6 people got baptized in the Holy Ghost, began speaking with other tongues. People are saved in the children's ministry. People are saved in the young people's ministries. People are saved all week long. And thank God that you, some of you, have that passion for heaven where you're leading people to the Lord. But we have to need to know that without Jesus, we got nothing. See, you can have a thriving church as a pastor and still not go to heaven. My family's blessed. We're blessed because we're covenant folk and we understand how to move in covenant. But you can gain everything from this world and realize, hopefully you realize quick, that honestly, none of that stuff matters. See, what this Pharisee had that held him so tight, that put him in a position where he thought he was above even this woman, was he had a pride value that said, well, I'm religious. Well, I go to church. Well, I do all the right things. So therefore, I'm in right standing with God. But this woman came to a position in her life, and she simply was known as this, the sinner. And when she came to the Savior, there was something that happened in her heart where she melted down, and she gave her heart to Christ. At the end of that chapter, he told her that by your faith, your sins have been forgiven. She positioned herself because faith demands action. When you and I come to a place of so being passionate for Jesus, then our lives will show it. But something happens in us, and it should happen in us. You see, you can gather as many things as you want. You can gather a lot of stuff. But when push comes to shove, there's a real empty hole without Christ filling it. Our lives this year, as you know, were challenged. And sometimes challenges are good. I'm not saying anything came from God, but they're good because God can make all things work to good. It doesn't mean all things are good, but he can make all things work together for good to those who are in Christ Jesus. And one of the great things that happened to me all over again, and it's happened multiple times, but it happened to me this year, was really, what matters? What really matters? What in your life really matters? Well, family doesn't matter if you're not going to be eternal. Because you can imagine being with your family on this earth in such a short period of time and then dying and you're all going to hell. You're never seeing each other again. So it's not even family that should be our priority. It's got to be Jesus. When this world is obliterated and when our lives take our last breath, and you know, I've done two funerals in the last 2 weeks, and one thing, it really realigns you with the frailty of life. When everything is done, what do you got? I should say, who do you got? The passion that should be thriving inside of us is like that passion with the woman who was called a sinner. She had to get near Jesus. That passion that Mary had, that Martha did not. Martha got busy, but Mary said, I've got to get near the Word. I've got to get over where the Word is being preached. I've got to get where life is being dispelled. I've got to be near the one who is called the Messiah. I've got to be near the one who's going to forgive me. I've got to be near that one who raises the dead, who casts out devils. I've got to be near that one. I've got to hear the Word of God. I've got to be passionate for him. You see, there comes a place in your walk with God that the things of this earth finally start to lose their flavor, and your passion for heaven is thriving. Why? Because you recognize when you take your last breath, only thing that has any value is what you can take to eternity with you. Oh man, we're all distracted. Amen. We got busy things. But is it worth it? He's just been saying to me, I want my people to love me again. I want my people to love me first again. Not when they have time. Not when they can figure out where I fit in their schedule. Not where I figure out, you know, well, you know, he did good things to me. Maybe I'll do something for him. Oh, Jesus. See, these are things, God, that you know I can't convey. If you don't do it, then it's worthless. Holy Spirit, put a hungering in our heart. Lord, we need you. The world has so much to offer. But it's so temporary. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? What are you willing to trade your soul for? You see, that man named Simon, he traded out God for religion. We don't know what she was trading out for. It doesn't even get into it. Just that she was really known as a bad person. But what are you willing to trade yourself for? What is so titillating and tantalizing that this world has to offer that Jesus goes so far down on the rungs of your life that honestly, you know. Yeah, I love God. I believe in God. The Bible says even the devils believe in God and tremble. But what about you? See, this is one that nobody can answer, because really when we stand before the living God, there's nobody else standing with. My wife's not going to be with me. This has nothing to do with Rhonda. This has nothing to do with my children. This has nothing to do with being a pastor. This has nothing to do with all the things that I have on this earth. This has to do with me one day standing before God, and he's saying, did you really want me? Did you really have passion for me? Did you just placate me? Were you just there to say, oh God, I need you when I need you? Or did you understand that I've asked you to put me first? Scary part. Where would I be standing with him saying that? Because Revelation is clear that if you're lukewarm, I'm going to projectile vomit you out of my mouth. This whole thing with God is all rack and pinion on love, but not love going in one direction. It's reciprocatory love. That's relationship. When was the last time you maybe got on your knees? When was the last time you spent time with Jesus beyond just the 5-minute devotional? When was the last time that you said, you know what, I hate sitting near the front, he spits on people, but I'm going to get in the front row? When was the last time your passion so drove you that it didn't really matter what anybody said or did? You wanted God. Watch. Girls and boys, college students, boys and girls come and go. Young people in the house, I can't tell you how many I've watched you trade your walk with God for the opposite sex. I can't tell you how many people, and sadly enough, this is one of the things about pastoring, I can't tell you how many people I've watched trade their walk with God. Oh, I love the Lord. Really? You can't cheat on somebody and tell me you love them. Now, you can be stupid. You can do stupid things. But if you really love somebody, there's no way you can walk that far. What are you trading for? Well, I've been hurt in church, and that just, you don't understand, Pastor. I've been wounded. So you're willing to allow that person's wound to steal your eternity. Honestly, that's dumb. Well, Pastor, you said things that irritated me, so I'm just not going back to church. Are you going to church anywhere? No, I have, you know, I love God. You're full of crap. Honestly, there comes a place in our lives, and this has been brewing in my spirit, because I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to me, because I can be really good and religious. I got really nice clothes. Come on now. I got a salary, and I got church building, and a bunch of folk that are coming to church. I got every good reason to be religious. And I could be. You would never know. You would never know. But he knows. Whew. Where are you? Where are you today? Listen, I don't ask you anything I haven't asked myself. Is God number one in your life? Are you the one that's looking at Christ and falling down on your face? Or are you the one that doesn't give him a kiss and doesn't wash his feet? But you had him into your house. Listen, there's more than just having him in your house. He wants to have him in you. This is not just about you and I being and doing things. This is about you and I knowing him and walking with him and talking with him and making the decision that he's number one in our lives. And I refuse to counterfeit. I refuse to fake it. I refuse to sit back and just let life happen. I will arrest myself, get on my face, and I'll wait until I want him bad enough. There was a man. He wanted to move in the power of God. And so he went into, it's called the Price of the Miracle Working Power of God. That's the name of the book. Free online, by the way. So he went, he told his wife, he said, I am going to go into my prayer closet. And he actually had a closet. I'm going to go into my prayer closet, lock the door, and don't let me out until I've heard from God. I guess it was the first day she was making supper. He started pounding on the door. And she let him out. He went back into the closet. And that last time he made a decision. I will not leave until I hear from God. And he heard from the Lord. And he was used in miracles and signs and wonders in the 1950s. His name was A.A. Allen. In the supernatural power of God. What about you? See, I can't answer for you. Do you really want God that bad? Do you really want Jesus? Or did you just kind of accidentally, come on, we do this, slide into religion a little bit. Where are you? If your last breath was taken, what would be your number one priority that you would leave behind? Money? Sports? Sex? Busyness? What would it be? Now listen, this is no condemnation here, honestly. This is because I'm dealing with this too. But when was the last time you wanted God more than anything? The Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You have and I have as much of Jesus today as we want. Because he promises to fill you to your level of hunger. How many of you used to hunger more? And now you just suffice with what you got. See, I believe that God has great and mighty things for this house. I know that God has called us to truly, genuinely, supernaturally change this region. I know that. I know the vision that God has put in my heart. But God will not use me or the people where he's not the priority. What's first in your life? Jesus is. Oh, come on now. Please be honest. The devil's not the greatest deceiver you are. Who's the priority in your life? What's the number one priority in your life? Jesus, but you don't spend any time with him. And you don't work for him. You don't share him. But you come to church on every third Sunday. He's really coming again. It's not a joke. Jesus is coming. Will you be ready? Because he's coming for a bride that's spotless. If you were getting married tomorrow and you found out that your bride-to-be, that you're going to march down the aisle with tomorrow, was having sex with your best friend the night before, you're probably not going to want her And if you do, you have issues. Who would you be cheating with on Jesus? Who is that one that you put in a higher priority than him?
Well, you know, I came to church to be encouraged. Oh, you will be.
Because when you make that decision, the joy of the Lord becomes your strength again. When you make that decision, you now have a purpose and a hope and a destiny. When you have that decision being made in your heart, man, all of a sudden you turn your sadness into gladness. All of a sudden you recognize that God is right there pushing you, encouraging you, and strengthening you. You see, there comes a time that you've got to make him the priority. That's not just this religious thing that we do on a Sunday, but this is, I want God. I know I've got to, I don't care if they call me the sinner. I've got to get to his feet. I've got to cry on his feet. I've got to kiss his feet. I've got to take what I call the most precious and wash his feet with it. I've got to have him know that I want him. I've got to have him know that I long for him and that he's number one. You see, when you do that, you don't become a pharisaical Simon. You become a woman who Jesus turns and honors because the heart is after him. Bow your heads with me this morning. Some of you have great hearts. Oh, I'm not negating the heart. But maybe you're the Martha. Oh, Jesus. She just left me there to do all the work. Maybe you're the Pharisee. I don't know where you stand, and really, I'm not accountable. You're not accountable to me. I've got to stand before my God just like you got to stand before your God. And I take it so serious because, I mean, I know how to be religious, guys. I mean, I really know how to build a big church. I know what to do. I know how to make this work. I know how we could have a church of 3,000 or 4,000 people tomorrow. You know, I know how to do all that stuff. But I don't want that junk. I want God. It's Jesus that changes people, not religion. And he's waiting for you. Oh, there's the anointing. Go. Holy Spirit, reveal to us. Reveal to us. I think I've been playing this song every morning for the last 6 to 8 months. Because I don't want to forget. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, as you can tell, I'm not trying to start a religion. This is about you knowing him. They might call you the sinner. They might say there is no hope for you, but I want you to know there is a Savior. That when you call upon him, he'll wash every sin and stain away. He'll make you a brand new person. Because he loves you and longs for you. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you want him in your life, I'm not asking you to join a church or religion. I want you to know him. Today, if you want Jesus, and you're either never been born again or you're in a backslidden condition, you know that if Christ comes today, you're gonna be left behind. And you need to get right with God. I want you to slide your hand up right now. Is there anyone this morning? Thank you, young lady. Thank you very much. You can put your hand right back down. Is there anyone else? Thank you very much. Yes. Yep. You can put your hand right back down. Is there anyone else this morning? Thank you very much. I see that hand, honey. Oh, come on now. Why would you leave here? Well, I don't want to be embarrassed. Who stinking cares? I want God. One last time, I'm going to ask. Anybody need Jesus or needs to get right with God? Get your hand up right now. 3, 2, thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Last call and one. Let's all stand to our feet. I want to sing this song right out loud. Can you get this in your spirit this morning? That I know maybe you've never been in the house of God, but there are time called holy moments. Those are the moments that you put down everything, you stop talking, you pay attention, because God is doing something. You don't move around the house, you don't chat in the back. These are holy moments. People are making eternal decisions right now. Not temporary, just eternal decision to be made right now. Because you don't know. I did 2 funerals this week. This last 2 weeks. You don't know when your time is done. It might be your last. Can we sing that one more time? Make it a holy moment. Lift your hands to heaven. Sing it to Jesus now. You can sing to me, but don't matter. Sing to Jesus. Sing it now. Do you see this woman? I entered your house, but you gave me no water for my feet. But she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them away with her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman did not cease to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Jesus, only you can deposit, but we can aim. We want you, Jesus, more. I pray, Holy Ghost, in the name of Christ, that not one of us will be able to leave this house today without knowing that we have surrendered our sins and grabbed the hold of the survivor, the master, the resurrected King, Jesus. Lord, I pray in your name that we will never, ever, ever turn back from you and go back to any of the things that are trying to hold us back from knowing you with all of our heart. In Jesus' name. If you raise your hand for salvation, I don't have a lot of time. I'm actually over time. If I could have the prayer team come around the front of the altar right now. Those who raise your hand for salvation, if you'll come down the aisle right now, meet me right now, right here, right now. Come right out of your seat. Be bold. If you raise your hand for rededication, you raise your hand for salvation, come right out of your chair. Meet me right up front right now in the name of Jesus. Move quickly. Move quickly. We love you. Serve God with all of your heart. Make Jesus number one priority in your life. You'll never be the same again. And he will honor you.